Okay, so you're thinking about going to law school, right? You're going to be a lawyer, hotshot attorney, all that.
Yeah.
So, pop quiz, can someone sue you? Like an attorney, can they sue you if they weren't even your client?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a tough one.
Feels a little weird, right? Like a little counterintuitive.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's exactly what we're diving into today on the Deep Dive. We're going to unpack this wild case from Maryland way back in 1985 called Flaherty v. Weinberg.
Oh, yeah, I remember this one.
If anyone out there is thinking about real estate law, transactional law, anything like that, where you're going to be dealing with people who aren't your clients, you need to know about this case.
Absolutely. Totally changes how you think about the attorney-client relationship.
Right. Like you think your responsibility is just to your client, the person paying you, but Flaherty really throws a wrench in that.
Big time. It basically says there are certain situations where you might actually owe a duty to someone who's not paying your bills.
Wild, right? So that's the big question here. Usually, attorneys are protected from being sued by non-clients, but this case carved out a big exception.
For sure.
Okay, picture this. You're buying your first house.
Exciting.
Yeah, so exciting, but scary too, right?
Lots of paperwork.
Exactly. And you're at the closing, you're sitting at the table, and you're relying on the seller's lawyer to make sure everything is on the up and up.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
But what if they mess up? What if something's not right? That's what happened in Flaherty.
Yeah, let's get into the specifics. So we have this couple, the Flahertys, Robert and Sally,
Okay.
and they're buying a house in Frederick County, Maryland. They get a mortgage from First Federal Savings and Loan Association to finance the purchase.
So far, so good. Sounds pretty normal,
That's
right?
totally typical.
Okay, but here's where it gets interesting. First, Federal, the lender, hires this law firm, Weinberg, Michelle, and Stearns, to take care of all the legal stuff for the closing. Specifically, this attorney named Weinberg. And this is the kicker. The Flahertys, the buyers, they don't have their own lawyer. They're going into this closing completely unrepresented.
Oh, well, that's a little risky.
Huge risk, right? So they're basically at the mercy of the seller's attorney.
Yeah, and that's where the trouble starts.
Okay, so what happened?
So at the closing, Weinberg allegedly tells the Flahertys that the property boundaries are all good, all accurate, based on this survey that had been done before called the Ford Survey.
Okay.
Fast forward a few years down the line,
Oh-ho.
a new survey is done. This one's called the Fox Survey, and guess what it finds?
I'm guessing something's not right.
Bingo. It turns out there's this 8-foot encroachment onto a neighbor's property. This is a big deal, right? Like, this was a material fact that wasn't disclosed to the Flahertys when they bought the house.
Wow, so they basically bought a piece of property that wasn't entirely theirs.
Yeah, they were misled.
So, of course, they're upset. They feel like they've been cheated.
Totally.
So, what do? They decide to sue Weinberg, the attorney who represented the lender in the deal.
Makes sense.
Yeah, they hit him with negligence, breach of warranty, and this is important, negligent misrepresentation.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So how does the trial court react to all this?
Well, not well for the Flahertys.
Yeah, they didn't really get a sympathetic ear there, did they?
Nope. The trial court dismissed all their claims.
And the reasoning. Why did the trial court dismiss the case?
Lack of privity.
Right, that pesky little thing called privity. Okay,
Yeah.
so for our listeners who maybe haven't encountered this concept yet, what exactly does this mean, this whole strict privity thing?
So in Maryland and a lot of other places, there's this big legal principle called strict privity when it comes to legal malpractice cases. It basically means that an attorney's duty, like their professional duty of care, it's only to their client,
Okay.
the person or the company that hired them, that's who they're responsible to.
Makes sense, right? Like your lawyer's working for you, not for everyone else involved in the deal.
Right, exactly. There are cases like Low Direct v. Thrift and Kendall v. Rogers. These cases really hammered home this idea.
Yeah, those were some landmark cases in Maryland.
Totally. And those courts basically said that if you don't have that direct attorney-client relationship, you can't sue for legal malpractice.
Okay, so there's no duty owed to a third party, generally speaking.
Right, unless there's like fraud or collusion involved, which wasn't really what the Flahertys were alleging in their negligence or breach of warranty claims.
Right, so the Flahertys weren't Weinberg's clients.
Yep.
So strict privity seems like it would totally block their ability to sue for those things, right?
On the surface, yeah. But Flaherty throws a curveball. It brings in this exception to the rule.
Okay, tell me more. This is getting juicy.
This is where things get really interesting. It's called the third-party beneficiary theory. And it's a way around that strict privity requirement in some very specific situations.
Okay, so what is it?
It basically says that a non-client, someone who wasn't the lawyer's client, can still sue the lawyer if they can prove they were the direct and intended beneficiary of the lawyer's work.
Okay, so it's not enough to have just benefited in some way, right? Like, you have to be the intended beneficiary.
Right, exactly. It can't just be incidental. The client, the person who hired the lawyer, has to have specifically intended for their lawyer's work to benefit this third party.
Okay, so the client's intent is really important here.
Huge. That's like the key to this whole exception. It has to be a direct purpose of the whole transaction, the client wanting to benefit this third party.
Okay, let's bring it back to the Flahertys. So the question becomes, did First Federal, the lender, did they hire Weinberg with the intention that his work would specifically benefit the Flahertys, the buyers?
Right. That's what the court had to figure out.
So what did they decide?
Well, they looked at the Flahertys' different claims and they made a distinction. The negligence and breach of warranty claims, those got shut down.
Okay.
The court said strict privity is still applying to those because, remember, the Flahertys didn't have that direct attorney-client relationship with Weinberg for those specific claims.
So for those more traditional claims, strict privity wins.
Yeah, basically.
But the negligent misrepresentation claim, that's where things get interesting. That one wasn't dismissed. It was sent back to the trial court. So what made that claim different?
The difference is in what they were alleging. The Flahertys argued that when Weinberg told them directly to their faces that the property boundaries were accurate, he was doing that specifically to benefit them.
Okay.
They were the buyers. They weren't represented. And they were relying on him as the attorney handling the closing.
So it wasn't just about the Ford survey existing. It was about Weinberg as a professional telling them this specific thing.
Right. It was about his actions and his words.
And the court really zeroed in on that, on this direct interaction between Weinberg and the Flahertys.
Absolutely. They said if Weinberg made those statements, knowing the Flahertys would rely on them, and if that reliance was part of the whole point of the closing, to make sure the property transfer was clear and accurate, then the Flahertys might actually be considered intended third-party beneficiaries.
Okay, so there's a chance.
Yeah, but only for that specific representation about the property boundaries.
Right, and the court even laid out a very specific test for this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, they had this one phrase that really captures the whole idea of intent.
Hit me with it.
They said, and I quote, "The intent to benefit the non-client must be a direct purpose of the transaction."
So that's the key. That's the legal standard.
Exactly. It's not enough for the non-client to just benefit somehow. It has to be intentional. It has to be a primary goal of the whole deal.
But it's really important to understand that the court in this Flaherty case, they didn't actually say whether Weinberg was actually negligent.
Right. They didn't rule on the merits of the case.
All they said was that the Flahertys had raised enough of a question about Weinberg's intent, and that question needed to be decided at trial.
Yeah, they basically said, we don't know for sure, but there's enough here to go to trial and figure it out.
Okay, so why are we talking about this case from 1985? Why does it matter for all the future lawyers out there?
It matters because even though Maryland still sticks pretty closely to this strict privity rule in legal malpractice cases, Flaherty created this clear exception for negligent misrepresentation.
Okay.
It's a narrow exception, but it's still important. And it shows how courts try to balance these competing ideas, protecting attorneys from getting sued by everyone and anyone, but also holding them accountable when they screw up.
Yeah, so it's about finding that balance, right? Like making sure attorneys aren't liable for everything, but also making sure they're not getting away with misleading people.
Exactly.
So what's the big lesson here for lawyers, especially those working in transactional law?
Clarity, clarity, clarity.
So communication is key.
Absolutely. Especially when you're dealing with people who aren't your clients.
Yeah.
You have to be super clear about who you represent and what you're doing.
And you have to be careful about what you say.
Yes, especially about factual things, like those property surveys in Flaherty. If you say something that turns out to be wrong and someone relies on that to their detriment, you could be in trouble.
Even if they weren't your client.
Especially if they weren't your client, but your client intended for them to rely on your statements.
Right. It all goes back to that intent.
Exactly. That's the linchpin.
And remember that later survey, the Fox survey, that really bolstered the Flahertys case.
Oh, yeah. That was huge.
Because it showed that the earlier assurance based on the Ford survey might have been wrong.
Right. So it made Weinberg's statements at the closing look even worse.
So the circumstances surrounding the whole thing really matter.
Totally.
Okay. So as we wrap this deep dive up, what would you say is the most important thing to take away from Flaherty v. Weinberg?
The main takeaway is that Even though Maryland likes to stick to strict privity for legal malpractice, Flaherty carved out this exception for negligent misrepresentation.
Okay.
And the key is that the attorney's client has to have intended to benefit that third party through the attorney's work or statements.
So intention is everything. And it makes you think about the ethics of the whole thing, right? Like, even if someone isn't your client, if they're relying on what you say and your client wants them to rely on you, you have to be really careful.
Absolutely. You have a responsibility, even if there's no direct attorney-client relationship.
So how should this case inform how future lawyers approach their practice?
It's a reminder that you have to be incredibly careful about what you say and do, especially in transactional work.
Okay.
You have to really think about the consequences of your actions, even for people who aren't your clients.
Makes sense.
Because even if you're not directly representing them, your words and actions can still have a big impact on them.
So be meticulous, be aware, and always think about who might be relying on you.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well said. And for anyone who wants to really dig into this case, we highly recommend checking out the full opinion of Flaherty v. Weinberg.
Yeah, it's a fascinating read.
It really is. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.
See you then.
Bye. Sure.